Good evening and welcome to Plan Lehigh Valley, the WDIY program presented along with our partners from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. Let's first welcome our co-hosts, Becky Bradley, who is the Executive Director of the Planning Commission, and Matt Assad, who is its Managing Director. Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So on this episode of Plan LV, we're going to take a thankful look back at 2024 by talking about the many planning related things that happened that we're most grateful for. And we're going to take a look ahead to 2025 and beyond at the things we're excited to see coming. Our guest for this show is LVPC's Director of Regional Planning, Scott Greenlee, who, as a former municipal manager, brings a unique perspective to planning issues in the Lehigh Valley. He arrived in July after spending nearly 5 years managing UCLan Township in Chester County. Before arriving in UCLan in 2018 as the assistant township manager, Greenlee was director of planning and development in East Whiteland Township for 2 years and associate planner in Upper Marion Township for 5 years. He's a Millersville University graduate with a master's degree from Westchester University. His task at the LVPC is to keep key projects moving at a time when managing growth is especially important in a region that is adding thousands of new residents and businesses every year. Welcome to the program, Scott.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. So, Matt, why don't you get us started? What are you thankful for from last year? And please don't say Route 22.
Well, I mean, you know what? I'm sort of going to go there.
Actually. Oh, I had the most frustrating drive to work on that
and
road.
I'm the only one to pick this. It's not directly Route 22, but I am thankful for the Transportation Improvement Program, which is $633 million worth of road, bridge, trail, transit, and safety projects, really in every corner of the region, including Route 22. It's kind of a big part of it. It's nearly 120 projects. It touches the lives of every single person in the valley, whether they're walking or riding a bike or taking transit. So it's one of those things that people can see happening right outside their window. It's happening in their neighborhood. So I kind of picked it for that reason. It is literally where the rubber meets the road. And you are right. I am the only one on our staff. We ask everybody in the staff to sort of answer this question. I am the only one that picked this. But I kind of like that. The rubber meets the road, sort of the hard numbers and projects nature of it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. How about you, Scott?
I am also thankful for 22 as a commuter on that road. But in all seriousness, I'm thankful for this year for the opportunity to join the LVPC and join the team here. It's a great staff. And I'm looking forward to all the great things in 2025. But what I'm thankful for this year is the opportunity to be involved with so many exciting projects we already have underway, but particularly the climate action plan. We go through the greenhouse inventory and getting that approved earlier this year. We're really looking forward to, continuing that project into next year. And I'm really excited to be a part of that.
Yeah, that was the crowd favorite with the staff. There was a lot of greenhouse gas inventory thankfuls, and I mean, it makes a lot of sense. That one touches the lives and future of everyone.
Yeah. And I think, too, it definitely our environment team, led by Susan Meyerhoff, Christian Martinez was key in this as well as some of our transportation team members, Brian Height, Evan Gardy, and Ben Dinkle. But they created a priority climate action plan. Like, they didn't even want to wait for the comprehensive one. They said, hey, we really have to work on this transportation decarbonization issue because 22, but other roads in the Lehigh Valley, especially with the growth of our industrial market and a lot of that, a lot of those goods and services being moved by tractor trailers and large vans and trucks. So I really do think that that's a staff favorite. It's just the climate action work in general, and now we're going to be doing this global climate action plan, a more comprehensive one. And I know that's on like the list of exciting things we can't wait to do for basically everyone here, I think.
Yeah, and sort of in a related note, I mean, lots of staff picked that one. And Samantha Pearson, who's one of our newest folks, Director of Development, I'll read hers because I think it's one of those that kind of resonates with everyone in the Valley. She says, As a mom, I am very thankful for the work and ongoing initiatives surrounding the 2024 greenhouse gas inventory. Climate change is a very real crisis affecting the health, stability, and resources of our planet. And I often worry about what it will look like for my daughter and future generations. And I am not alone in this, as many fellow parents have the same fears for their children. An inventory is the first step in putting together a plan to curb emissions and improve sustainability in a region-wide effort. And as someone who often feels helpless as to what I can individually do to make certain that Zella is not faced with an increasing unlivable environment, being part of a climate action plan has proven to me that there is much we can do when we work together across sectors and households. Zella is her 18-month-old child. So obviously, that sort of resonates with a lot of folks across the Lehigh Valley.
Sure. Yeah, and I think, too, that ties into some stuff that, you know, we worked on this year, but what we're also working on beyond the Priority Climate Action Plan and the greenhouse gas inventory. We targeted kind of a priority demonstration project to do a massive greening of the Route 33 corridor, the interchanges along 22, and then 376 going from 22 near the airport into the city of Bethlehem and really close to the Hill to Hill Bridge. So it's hopefully something that we're going to work towards. We actually have received some carbon reduction funding from USDOT, which we're going to be going through an allocation process for, like in the first half of this year, where we can actually seed, pun intended, some of those greening projects. Because, you know, plants can reduce carbon, can sequester carbon and help with the carbon sequestration. And I know those are fancy terms, but it's all about air quality at the end of the day. I think there's another project we've been working on that, which really is a transportation safety project, as well as a mobility project, but it is also a climate project, which is also a public health project, right? Like, I think there's a connection between all of these things. But Evan Gardy, our transportation planner who focuses on green transportation, he did a whole mapping and analysis of the walk audit program that we did in partnership with AARP Pennsylvania and the United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley and the folks led by Carmen Bell and the folks in their age-friendly communities initiative there. Volunteers went out and helped us literally walk the most unsafe locations for pedestrians in the Lehigh Valley. That's going to be the foundation of that of our transportation safety project where we're going to create a plan to increase all types of transportation safety, whether it's roadway safety, which Brian Height focuses on, or walking, biking, ADA accessibility that Evan focuses on. I think that's a key component of who we are as a region, is we're trying to find the connections and balance all these needs and do specific planning and specific projects around improving the whole community.
Is that what you would say you're most thankful for, or is there something else that's top of your list?
Oh, yeah, we didn't even get up. Okay, so mine is a little different. I'm grateful for our partnerships. I already named, you know, a couple with United Way and AARP Pennsylvania, but we've been able to strengthen and even form new partnerships this year. We created an Eastern Pennsylvania Freight Alliance around freight infrastructure because it's getting so much wear and tear now. And we know about railroad safety issues. We know about the increased cargo at the Lehigh Valley International Airport. We know about, you know, the wear and tear on the roads and bridges all across the Lehigh Valley. Freight's inherently multimodal. If we were in San Francisco, we'd be talking about a robot delivery. But at that, all kidding aside, we were able to partner with the Northeast Pennsylvania Alliance, which is Carbon, Monroe, Schuylkill, Pike Counties, Lackawanna, Luzerne Counties, Berks County, and Lebanon County, to create a mega regional freight infrastructure plan. It's in the adoption process now. Our Lehigh Valley Transportation Study adopted it just recently. So it's a really important partnership for us to be able to work together to manage our infrastructure related to this big industrial boom, because it's not going to go away, especially if they continue to deepen channels into the port of New York and New Jersey. I also think there's a lot of other key partnerships that we've had. I mean, we talked a little about the Priority Climate Action Plan, but we did a coordinated human services transit transportation plan. Okay, that's a lot of words, but the feds require us to call it that. But most simply is what it does is it prioritizes and creates goals for funding to help people who are older adults over 65 years of age and the mobility impaired get door-to-door transit service, whether it's through Lantavan, ARC, or VIA. 26 individuals came out from various agencies across the Lehigh Valley to literally write those goals together. That's a huge partnership. And that'll bring then millions into our region to keep those services going and to expand them. So those are just some of the transportation partnerships we've had. There are many, many, many more, including existing partnerships in coordination with other regions in North Jersey and even into New York City that are critical to our region's success and to building that culture of collaboration internally and externally. And that's really what I'm the most grateful for. And I'm also the most excited about for next year is because those will only continue to grow and expand. We'll find new ones and be able to continue to work together to keep this region great.
We sort of take the partnerships for granted, but we hosted an Arkansas MPO here last year, and that's what they were blown away by. They were blown away by how much we all worked together because they said that's not inherent to them. They're not used to municipalities working together and agencies working together. And they said, you guys get a lot done. So they were kind of blown away and they kind of went back with the goal to work more together, even though they're kind of parochial and they all sort of have their own areas to sort of focus on. But they were kind of blown away by what we, I think, take for granted. You know, we're used to working together.
That has not always been the case in the Lehigh Valley, correct? I mean, I'm thinking about 20 years.
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, our organization's a perfect example of it. We're one of the oldest regional councils in America. We were founded in 1961. And that was all, you know, the titans of industry and the counties coming together and saying, hey, you know what? We're Lehigh County. We're Northampton County. Our employees live in one county but work in the other and vice versa. And we really need to plan the transportation system. We really need to work towards protecting our agricultural economy. We really need to be able to support our business culture and keep it where it can be sustainable. And I'm not kidding. The first plan for our region was developed in 1963. It's one of the first in America at the regional scale. And so I think that set the tone just by the creation of our agency and the fact that they, within 2 years, at least created a comprehensive general plan to try to manage the region at the time. And, you know, other agencies like the Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation, or we actually spun off Lanta, I believe about 30, 40 years ago or so now, that is abnormal in most places in America.
Actually, the Lehigh Valley really wasn't a thing until like the 90s. We were the ABE area. Mm-hmm. You still see remnants of that at the airport because they can't change their call letters at this point. But we were Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton area, and really a concerted effort started in the 80s and really picked up speed in the 90s to actually change it to the Lehigh Valley. And now that's second nature, and almost nobody calls us the ABE area anymore. Mm.
So Matt, what other thankful answers did you get from your colleagues?
Well, there was a pretty good, I mean, there was a lot of the greenhouse gas. I'll pick a couple. I'm going to pick Brian Height. He's a transportation planner because he has a different one that was only answered by one folks. And Brian, by the way, he may be the only planner in the state that is a licensed diesel mechanic and has a CDL license to drive a tractor trailer. I don't know another planner that had that career before doing this. But he said, I'm proud to be able to provide guidance on freight impacts in large commercial vehicles. The economic growth of the valley, especially in e-commerce and warehousing and logistics, while controversial, is an element of a strong economy. I am honored to help provide the best planning practices and advice as a member of the LVPC team to mitigate the plan for those impacts. But, you know, trucks are not liked by very many folks. And I don't know that Brian likes them, but he's sort of pragmatic. And he's like, this is part of our economy. And he's right. It's 39,000 jobs that are in the logistics and trucking and distribution industry in the Lehigh Valley. It's actually the second most jobs creator behind healthcare, which is pretty amazing. So I thought that was interesting. Of course, he was the only one who picked that.
Well, we all need our stuff. And I think, Becky, you had a column in the Morning Call about the cropping up of all of these storage centers or whatever you call them, where you can store stuff because we're just ordering more and more stuff.
Yes, the towers of goods, right?
Yes.
I mean, clearly there's a demand for them, or the private sector wouldn't be building self-storage, right? So,
right.
Yeah. But I mean, the truth is especially right now, when all of those last minute orders were going in earlier this week or last weekend. I mean, we need that stuff in order to maintain good graces with our friends and family over the holiday season, right? Like, I think that's important. And then you're going to see, you know, this whole swath of returns as well, right? Then you'll see the sales, then, you know, and so on and so forth. And it's a thing. It's only growing. Whether we like it or not.
And I think the reason we saw so many storage facilities built is because people buy all this stuff. It fills up their house and they need to put it somewhere so they can buy more stuff.
All kidding aside, our community planning team has been super busy this year doing something that you'll see a lot more of in 2025. They have been doing a comprehensive analysis of the region's housing market. We always start with fact-based optimism. So in order to have a conversation on how we can increase housing, and we're actually going to be creating a housing supply and attainability strategy, we have to know what the housing market really is. How much can you pay if you make this income? Or, you know, if you're a firefighter or a police person, a teacher, working in retail as a clerk, you know, what type of home would be available to you at what price points, both rent and ownership? We know we're at least 9,000 housing units short today, and obviously we'll be talking more about the where and at what incomes, but they're creating a whole data portal to go along with that. So Mackenzie Geisner, our geographic information systems planner, has been working with Jill Seitz, our chief community planner, and Joey Doda, our regional planner, but also Mary Grace Collins, our Lehigh University Community Fellow. It's similar to a work internship, but she's getting her master's degree at Lehigh. They've been working really hard on this really impressive, exciting portal, though slightly scary, the data inside it, but the number of units that we need. But it should serve as a platform for us to create this great plan that's being funded by Lehigh County, and the Urban Land Institute's going to help us develop that. So you'll be hearing a lot about that the first half of this year.
Okay. So Scott, anything you want to add to talk about your favorite thankful answers from the staff?
Oh, for sure. I wanted to highlight Hannah Malaggio, our regional planner for community engagement, who noted she's thankful for Planning for All. It's a concrete commitment to public participation to the planning process. We acknowledge barriers to access of planning, and we continue to work towards removing those barriers. It also gives us further insight into the demographic profile of the region. And I think that's something that is really a fundamental part of planning, you know, making sure that, you know, we're engaging in the process. And as Becky mentioned, with the housing attainability strategy, we're going to be kicking that off in 2025 in earnest with some public information and information gathering processes. And we're really excited to kind of keep that going. So I thought that was a great contribution from Hannah.
Yeah. And the Planning for All campaign was, it's an update to the public participation plan, which is how basically people get access to us and our data and everything we release, but also have input on how all of that stuff is made. They kind of help create. But it was also an update to the limited English proficiency plan. So those are both sort of making sure that all of the community is able to sort of get access. Those were updated this year. And it's a more involved process than you would think. And it's also federally regulated. So there's a lot to it.
The one thing that I appreciate about both of those is that the LVPC has this written and public commitment to the public. Like, most public agencies don't have that. And so I think that forces us to always think beyond ourselves, right? And reminds us to do that in a smart and legitimate, truthful way. And I think that's a core commitment that all agencies in the public sector should have, but it's one where we need to be the standard bearer on that. I do want to give a shout out to Hannah Melagio and also to Brian Hite, because we've been hosting Pennsylvania Municipal Planning Education Institute courses. It's a statewide training program that we do that allows local planning commissioners who are volunteers, zoning hearing board members, local elected officials, and even members of the public, municipal solicitors and engineers, to get very specific training on what the state law requires all of us to do when handling subdivision and land development plans or conducting zoning hearing board meetings. And the county planning agencies all across the state partner with this institute, PMPEI, to deliver those courses. PMPEI is in the process of updating all of its materials and its strategy for education. So we know that's going to take a couple of years. And so the planning team, which here has been, you know, thinking about what that could mean. And Hannah is the queen of Plan Camp. So we're going to make sure that she can help bring that newly revised and improved program out to our local governments and the community so they have the tools they need to be successful. And then Brian does that through the local technical assistance program, Transportation Camp, where he actually organizes and assists in providing direct technical assistance to local governments on everything from crosswalk issues to why are people speeding through my neighborhood. And then they actually get many engineering and planning reports in partnership with PennDOT to try to address a variety of transportation system challenges. So that's a long-term commitment we've had. We're evolving both of those programs. The demand for the local technical assistance program, Transportation Camp, is huge, honestly, a little more than we can handle. So we're going to have to figure out how we continue to provide a lot and high quality services given the demand challenges. But Hannah is going to help lead the revision along with Jill and Scott and Joey and the whole transportation team, that 101 planning level type thing, assistance that they need.
It's so important, because having a background in municipal government, obviously, you know, we've seen some of the struggles that municipalities have with getting some of this education. So first off, when I joined this team, it was so cool to see that programs were already in place. And we're looking forward to kind of growing those partnerships with our municipalities and providing those educational components. Very excited about that.
Yeah, and each and every one of those classes sells out. You know, there's never any open seats, so we know it's needed.
Yeah, wow. Hannah did a survey with our local governments on, like, what do you need the most? And it was basically that. But they gave us some additional information, too. They want the 101, but they also were like, hey, how do we downzone? Which means, you know, like a property currently has like high intensity uses allowed on it, but now we no longer think that that's a good idea. So how do we downzone, meaning take away intensity of uses on that site? We've also been asked about transportation impact fees and how do you put one of those programs together? And those are very specific, like, subsets of the Pennsylvania Municipalities Planning Code, that umbrella law that governs all types of planning activities in the Commonwealth. And so finding out that information is allowing us to create kind of mini trainings, you know, next year and beyond to, you know, augment Plan Camp.
So we have about 5 minutes left. What else are you looking forward to? I mean, we've already started talking about 2025 and what's coming. What are you most excited about, Matt?
So you're going to laugh out loud. Right here.
What's it about Route 22?
It is Route 22 related. I'm excited to see. So next year, thanks to Senator Nick Miller and PennDOT Secretary Mike Carroll, we were fortunate to get $1 million grant to take a really hard look at the future of Route 22. And that's going to happen next year. And I'm fascinated to see what we come up with. I'm fascinated to see what, you know, I think this was done in a different way in like 2001. They sort of threw out a whole menu of things that could happen, but it was not, this will be more of a strategy. That was more of a study of possibilities. It really wasn't a strategy of what you should do. And I remember that in my past life, I think Becky still blames me for writing the story about that study and putting widening in the headline. I do not. Yeah, I don't confirm or deny that allegation.
I have written proof. I'm just saying.
It's an ink. It's hard to get rid of that.
I think it's the most traveled highway in the Lehigh Valley by far. More than 78, even though most people won't believe that. It's easily the most traveled. It's, as Becky likes to call it, it's Lehigh Valley's Main Street. So yeah. I want to see what the future should look like.
All right, Scott, what about you?
Okay, so I'm excited for two things for next year. The first is the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission has been in the process of setting up an e-plan submission portal for our communities to very efficiently and easily submit plans for review to the commission. So really excited to get that started, kicked off for next year. I think that'll do a lot to kind of make the process much more simple and also boost efficiencies here at the commission. And then also, I'm very excited to continue working on the Act 167 Global Watershed project that we've continuously been working on and will continue working on in 2025. As a former manager, stormwater still gives me a little bit of heart palpitations, but it shows the importance of kind of looking at this issue regionally. And, you know, I'm so used to looking at it within the confines of a municipal boundary. So we have 15 watersheds here in the Lehigh Valley that we're going to go through the process of modeling, with the process of that resulting in a stormwater ordinance that municipalities will have to adopt, and hopefully will result in less flooding and identify areas of hazards and kind of make the Lehigh Valley a safer place in the future.
Yeah, it's a real opportunity to have a region-wide green infrastructure ordinance that helps us maintain clean water. You know, that's one of the really important parts about that. I do think we should give a shout out to Tracy Oskovich for helping, our director of administration, for helping raise like well over $600,000 to do this Global 167 plan. Normally, these are done watershed by watershed. We have 16 watersheds, but we're responsible for 15, and Montgomery County is responsible because the majority of it is in that county for the other one. They're updating their plan too, but we're creating a one-stop shop plan. Normally, it takes 2 years to do each one of those, and $150,000 or more each. And so this gives us greater efficiency and allows us to reduce the time to get that project done. So I have two things, Margaret. One is our internal and external transit systems. So the bus rapid transit system, which Atlanta started to implement, eventually will morph into a light rail system. And there's a whole series of station stops and planning that's going into that. That's underway now in partnership again with Atlanta. We're doing the pedestrian zoning with municipal governments, overall regulatory compliance components on the roadway side, along with PennDOT. The external transit component is we are looking to raise funds to do a passenger rail phase two. Now, that's a lot of nerdy words for saying we have to do this in order to see what route the region can support and if we're going to meet the ridership projections that we need to in order to enter the federal corridor ID program. There's only one way to do passenger rail, and that is via the book of the Federal Rail Administration. So in order to do this phase two, we have to raise $450,000 to have a consultant, professional consultant, help us with that. So that would connect us to either North Jersey, New York, Philly, or we have to look at the Reading route as well. So that I'm excited about. And we're rebuilding our website and our Data LV portal. So a shout out to Taylor Beasley and Samantha Pearson and Scott for leading those initiatives with Mackenzie Geisner.
All right. Well, that was a great look back. I know I am personally grateful to be part of this program. I am looking forward to more of this next year. Thank you, Becky, Matt, and Scott for being here tonight. If you'd like to listen to this program again, you can go to wdiy.org or our app or your favorite podcast platform. I'm your host, Margaret McConnell, and you are listening to WDIY 88.1 FM.